a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
To order. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Here.
Bikert?
Here.
Gibson? Greenfield? Hunhoff?
Here.
Junkie?
Here.
Kirkaby?
Here.
Kirschman?
Here.
Lang?
Here.
Lederman?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Solem?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Noem?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Mr. Chair, 13 of 15 are present.
Okay, let's see, we'll just wait on that for a minute. Welcome everyone to House Taxation this morning. Just a friendly reminder to turn your cell phones off, or vibrate at least, so we don't have a little accident, or donation. If you look at the calendar today, we have a couple bills that are below the line that we took testimony on. I think Representative Dennert had some constituents or some folks that wanted to make the trip in today, so that's why we held final action. And then, of course, 1197. So we will go ahead and go 1210, 1211, and move back up to 1197 will be the order of business for today. So before we get started, if you've had a chance to look at the minute, the chair would entertain a motion on those.
So moved.
Motion by Noem, second by Kirkaby to approve the minutes. Comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. So, moving to House Bill 1210, prohibit companies from charging for amounts paid in premium taxes on annuities. We did take proponents and opponent testimony, but we will go ahead and reopen it up. We'll just kind of go through the motions again real quick. We'll start with proponents. So are there any more proponents for House Bill 1210? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Paul Dennert, State Rep, District 2. I'm not going to take a lot of your time personally. I just want to thank you again for allowing the constituent to come in today and give proponent testimony. And I don't know that if you're going to just allow that one or if there's any other comment. We'll see how it proceeds. But he's here today. He's in the audience, Mr. Barry Zimney from Rapid City. And as I said, I figure my constituent, not only District 2, but the whole state are my constituents. Barry called me. An issue that kind of near and dear to his heart, and I thank you and hope you could give him a little latitude as he goes forward with his testimony. And I don't think I'll have a wrap-up, Mr. Chairman. Maybe if there's more opponents, you could grant that latitude to Mr. Zimney if he wants because of his knowledge of the issue. Thank you. But I might stick around.
Okay. Thank you. And, yes, that is the intent is since – we will have proponents. We will allow the opponents to come up and present, you know, any new information that we could talk about in comparison to the proponent testimony. So we'll go ahead and open it up to additional proponents, too.
And by the way, I think Mr. Zimney would like to just cover 12, 10, and 11 at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Right. We can do it the same
Thank
way
you.
We did. You bet. Any additional proponents for House Bill 1210? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Barry Zimney. I'm from Rapid City, and I want to thank you for the time today. I couldn't get here Tuesday. I did listen to the audio feed, and so I'm aware of what happened on Tuesday. I've been in the investment business since 1986, and so about 24 years this year. Currently, I'm a state-registered investment advisor. I'm a certified financial planner designee, and I have been licensed in life and health for, I think, the last 23 years. I own and operate a fee-based investment advisory business, but occasionally I will offer insurance products to fill unidentified needs such as long-term care and fixed-rate deferred annuities. My comments kind of address both bills, as Representative Dennert indicated, although my initial emphasis at the beginning was House Bill 1210. If I could, I'm going to give a little background to emphasize who would use a fixed-rate annuity. As most of you know, CD rates offered by banks are at all-time lows. And in fact, recently I pulled a few banks in Rapid City, and the two largest regional banks offered a one-year CD at 0.25 and 0.40. It is the individual investors who are no longer interested in capital appreciation, don't have a long-term time horizon, and are looking for other investments which can offer better rates and provide similar security features. Fixed rate annuities offered by insurance companies are often a very good way to help those clients who want safe alternatives to CDs. Again, it is those investors whose risk tolerance is low, their time horizons are shorter, but more importantly, their investment objective is preservation of capital and/or income. These people want safe places to park their money. They want no volatility. They aren't interested in the risks and rewards of the stock market. And they want the ability to get their income and or partial principal back from time to time. And I'm sure most of you know, due to federal tax laws, annuity distributions are penalized if taken before the age of 59 and a half. So all things considered, the most likely buyer of a fixed-rate annuity, not unlike a CD, is a senior. For years, I have believed that the South Dakota premium tax is a tax levied upon the insurance company, but allowed to be charged back to the owner was a tax that created an unfair tax burden to the owners and beneficiaries of annuities, which, once again, is predominantly seniors. Seniors have been paying 1.25% tax on the front end, sometimes on the back end, upon 1035 exchange, sometimes upon death of the owner annuitant, or whenever the insurance company decides by internal policy it wants to charge it back. In addition, current law provides for the very normal event of double and triple taxation of the same pool of money when a 1035 exchange is processed, which is being addressed in House Bill 1211, I realize. As Secretary Schreiber mentioned on Tuesday, the premium tax in question pertains only to non-qualified investments, which is basically an after-tax investment, versus qualified, which is the same annuity, but purchased in the account of an IRA, a 403B, or some type of retirement plan. Now, to be fair, some companies have decided, as an in-house policy, not to charge back this tax to the customer. In fact, there are a fairly large number of companies who have found it unnecessary to directly charge it back to the annuity owner, but who continue to operate in a financially sound and profitable manner. So while I am not going to argue with lobbyist Mr. Gregerson, it is not necessarily true that all companies pass this cost on, as was suggested by him on Tuesday, at least not in a direct charge manner. Why do some companies doing business in South Dakota charge a premium tax back that they had to pay to the state and others not? I really can't answer that, as I'm not familiar with the finer details of how the insurance company financial system works. The point is, those companies that do not charge this tax back have not pulled out of the state and again operate on a profitable and solvent basis. So anyone who might suggest, or anyone who might say that if we, the insurance company, cannot charge this back tax back as passage of 1210 would suggest and still be profitable, I might say maybe you need to look at the business model of those companies who pay the tax but don't directly charge it back because somehow they've figured it out. House Bill 1210, if passed, would indeed put all companies on the same playing field as Representative Dennert indicated Tuesday. Now, I'm not aware of the fees or other costs an insurance company might pay to the state to be able to offer their products in the state. I personally don't think the South Dakota premium tax should be viewed as a user fee, but rather a cost or a fee on mostly out-of-state insurance companies to receive to do business in South Dakota and thereby earn profits from South Dakota citizens. Currently, the current law, in effect, allows insurance companies to receive a rebate on the tax by charging it back to South Dakota senior citizen owners of annuities. This seems wholly unfair to basically isolate seniors by default to pay part of the fee for insurance companies to obtain the privilege to make a profit off of them. As said earlier, to add insult to injury, you have the unfair and sometimes double taxation, triple taxation on the same money for no other reason than to make a switch from one annuity to another. This, of course, is addressed in HB 1211. This is the 1035 exchange transfer process. CD clients don't have to pay that fee, that type of fee, every time they renew the CD or move it to another bank because the other bank offers a better rate. The reasons for making the 1035 exchange could be for many reasons. It could be for a better rate with a higher rated company. It could be because the company they were in was downgraded in terms of their financial strength and solvency. With a senior owner transfers, when the senior owner transfers to a more financially stable company, in that instance, they have to pay the same tax on the original premium plus whatever the gains might have accrued to be. This seems particularly onerous in terms of taxation policy, and I don't think any reasonable-minded person could possibly suggest that this is a prudent and rational tax if charged back to the senior annuity owner over and over again. With the passage of Bill 1210, the tax burden would be removed from the annuity owner and would allow the legislature the time to figure out a better way to assess the fee as a cost to the insurance companies, which, again, mostly out-of-state insurance companies, for the right to operate in South Dakota and make products by their product design, their service level, and competitive renewal rates. The passage of House Bill 1210 would render the necessity of House Bill 1211 moot. House Bill 1210 is revenue neutral and would not negatively impact South Dakota's budget, as the premium tax will be levied and collected from the insurance company based on the premiums received. When I brought this issue to Representative Dennert, I understood the condition of the state, the cities, the counties, the school districts, in terms of their budgets. I knew that to have any chance to give senior annuity owners a break in these taxes, and sometimes the double and triple taxation, was to offer some type of bill or amendment to the current law that would be revenue neutral to the state. While I don't necessarily think the South Dakota premium tax is a money grab to the detriment of the insurance industry, as I view it as a cost to do business in South Dakota, I definitely believe that by allowing the insurance companies to charge it back, it is onerous and discriminatory to seniors insofar that they are the primary investors of fixed-rate annuities. What is really odd, and the insurance companies could play a big role here, is that if insurance companies would offer their current annuity clients a competitive renewal interest rate at surrender-free withdrawal time, there really wouldn't be any legitimate reason to process a 1035 exchange, at least that centers around the interest rate. And if that were to occur, no additional premium taxes would be due to the state, even with the current law. So from my many years of experience and with speaking to lifelong agents who use annuities, very seldom does the current insurance company offer a rate that, when the client shops the market, will entice the annuity owner to stay with the current company. Oddly, the state of South Dakota would come out on the short end if that were to occur, as 1035 exchanges would be severely decreased, as the double taxation wouldn't be triggered. This taxation process is convoluted on many levels and an unnecessary tax burden, not to the insurance company, but to the senior annuity owner each time a 1035 exchange is processed. HB 1210 signals the need to rethink this form of taxation and what should be the cost or fee for the insurance companies to do business in South Dakota and to make a profit off of our citizens. It can send a strong message that the South Dakota legislature is indeed willing to put the interests of their senior constituents before the interests of out-of-state insurance companies, who have plenty of ways to recoup these costs as the cost to do business in South Dakota and still remain profitable in the process. I urge your support for House Bill 1210. Let's revise the statute that doesn't involve a chargeback to our seniors and still get the state what it needs to prudently and rationally operate state government. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further proponents to either House Bill 1210 or 1211? Any further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, are there any additional opponents to House Bill 1210 or 1211? Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Darla Pullman Rogers, and I represent NAFA of South Dakota, which is a state organization of life and health insurance agents. We rise in opposition to this bill, and in essence, we're supporting the companies on this issue. In essence, what House Bill 1210 does is it says that a company cannot charge their premium tax back to their constituents. So they would have to do business here, they're going to get taxed, but they can't pass those costs on. Whether we're talking about, you know, the field of insurance or any other field, I don't believe it's appropriate for us as a state to say we're going to tax you and then we're going to tell you how you have to handle those taxes as a business practice. I believe that this would have a real chilling effect on the sale of life insurance and annuities in the state of South Dakota, and that would certainly affect my agent groups that I represent. I understood Mr. Gregerson's testimony at the last meeting that all costs are passed on. That's just the way we do business. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether it's insurance or something else. I do not know of any other state that has done this or even looked at this, but we would be opposed to the concept of prohibiting passing on these taxes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents? House Bill 1210 or 1211? Morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. I'm going to speak to 1211. That has a detrimental impact on state revenue. We do tax annuities, and the best we can calculate, and we can't calculate exactly, it would cost on an annual basis and lost money to the general funds of somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 to $2 million a year if we passed House Bill 1211. I guess I would say this. I don't think the analogies that were given by the proponents on this are really accurate as far as what the person normally pays in taxes. Let me give you an example on sales tax. You go and buy a new TV. Well, you pay the sales tax on the full price of that new TV. You don't take off the price of your old TV and subtract it and then pay the sales tax on difference. You pay the full sales tax on the new product you purchase. Just likewise, when you do a 1035 exchange with annuity, you are purchasing a brand new annuity, a brand new product, and that's why it's taxed at the going rate for annuities. It really the way it's worked, companies are used to it. They do it in other states. We think, like I said, it's a definitely an impact on the financial side of the state as far as general funds is concerned, and we would urge you to kill the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents to House Bill 1210 or 1211? Any further opponents? Seeing no further opponents, we will open it up to questions of the committee. Any questions? Any questions? Representative Hanna.
For Mr. Moses, please. Well, we certainly don't want any negative impacts on the budget this year, but can you address the issue of whether we're, with all the financial products that are out there, whether this does single out one financial product perhaps unfairly?
We don't deal with all the different financial products on the insurance side. Our premium tax on insurance is just for insurance products, so it taxes life insurance, annuities, homeowners insurance, health insurance, the full gamut of products offered by an insurance company. But to other investments that are like securities, we don't have any taxes associated with that. On the Division of Insurance level, I guess I would have to leave it to others as far as the tax structure on those is are concerned.
Any further questions of the committee? Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will go ahead and close the public testimony and move to comments and or action. Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion to move House Bill 1210 to the 41st day.
Second.
Motion by Representative Noem. Second by Representative Solem to move House Bill 1210 to the 41st day. Comments on that motion? Representative Noem.
I just do have some concerns about this bill. I understand the intention behind it, and I would agree with the proponents of that and on what they're trying to do. However, I think the detrimental effects and the precedent we might be setting with this type of regulation in regards to businesses in the state is not something that we'd like to pursue at this time. So I'd ask that the committee support the motion.
Thank you. Any further comments on the deferral of the 41st day motion? Seeing no further comments, the motion is to defer House Bill 1210 to the 41st day. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Aye.
Bikert?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Greenfield? Hunhoff?
No.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Lang?
No.
Lederman?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
No.
Noem?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 11 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
The motion to defer House Bill 1210 to the 41st day carries. Okay, we still have House Bill 1211. We will go ahead and open that up to comments and or action as well. Any comments or action on House Bill 1211? Representative Kirkaby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move House Bill 1211 to the 41st legislative day.
Second. Motion by Kirkaby, second by Noem, to move House Bill 1211 to the 41st day. Comments on that motion? Representative Kirkaby.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly, I think the opposition to that really needs no further explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments on the motion to defer House Bill 1211 to the 41st day? Seeing no further comments, the motion is to defer House Bill 1211 to the 41st day. The clerk should call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Aye.
Bikert?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Greenfield? Hunhoff?
No.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Lang?
No.
Lederman?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
No.
Noem?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 11 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
Motion to defer House Bill 1211 to the 41st day carries. Thank you, Representative Dennert. Moving on back to the top of the calendar, House Bill 1197, Act to Provide for the Repeal of Railroad Tax Credits. Are there any proponents to House Bill 1197? Representative Fiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, one second.
Mr. Chairman, committee, I thought I'd step out with my constituent. I wanted to thank you for your bearing with it, allowing us 2 days, and I should have stayed and stepped out. But
you bet, no problem.
Thank you for this, and I can always overstep this gentleman here just once or twice. Thank you.
You bet, thank you. Okay, sorry, Representative Fiker, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Dennis Fiker, District 3, most of the city of Aberdeen, Brown County, and the eastern half of McPherson County. I don't know whether to start this.
And if we need to replace it, let's have a plan in place to lay out there. And also a comment by Mr. Owen was, I think we're here sometimes addressing some of these issues with a knee-jerk reaction, and maybe we need to just slow down a little bit, take a good hard look at these before we repeal them, come up with an alternative, and then bring it back to this group. And I do agree that a subcommittee to look at this would be appropriate and possibly come back with an amendment to this particular bill.
I'm going to close the comments because we're out of time. When I get the votes done, very quickly, I'd just like to say that I, too, think it is somewhat confusing, but I'm not quite sure that a subcommittee is going to solve it. I would be the first one to support a summer study because I think that's what Representative Feichert would like. It's going to take some time, and it's a very complicated issue. Bottom line, we heard that today. So with that, the motion that we will be voting on, the substitute motion, is to defer to another day and appoint a subcommittee. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cutler.
No.
Representative Feichert.
No.
Gibson. Greenfield.
No.
Hunthoff. Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
No.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Lang.
No.
Lederman.
Aye.
Russell.
No.
Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Noem. Olson.
No.
Mr. Chair, 5 ayes, 7 noes, 3 excused.
Deferral to another day and appoint a subcommittee fails, so we will revert back to the original motion, which is to defer to the 41st day. All those in favor will say aye. All opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Cutler?
Aye.
Feichert?
Aye.
Gibson? Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunthoff? Junkie?
Nay.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Nay.
Lang?
No.
Lederman?
Nay.
Russell? Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
No.
Noem?
No,
Olson?
Aye.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12, 13, 14, 6 and 6.
6-6. Okay, we have a split committee. Here's what we're going to do. We'll go ahead and recalendar this when we get a full committee, and then we can discuss another motion. So for now, Chair Tenner, motion to adjourn.
So second.
Motion by Cutler, second by Junkie. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Adjourn.
Good job, Mr.